settle in and just have a threshold moment, a moment of silence to move from what we were doing to what we are doing now. Hello, everyone. As always, it's good to see you there on the Hollywood squares of my screen. This week, I wanted to continue with loving kindness. And last week, we worked with loving kindness toward the self and introduced it by first evoking loving kindness towards ourselves from someone who we knew loved us and held that feeling, and then moved into offering those phrases and those well wishes of kindness toward the self. That's very hard often for Westerners to do. This week, I want to expand that circle to the others, to the beloveds first, and then we'll look at those extending loving kindness to people we don't actually know, which can be a very powerful practice. I think I mentioned last week that the practice of loving kindness, of metta or loving kindness, was really slow to open up or become alive for me. It just seemed at the beginning very wooden and even sort of saccharine. And it's something that has really deepened and become, in fact, quite profound to me over time. Start out today with just a couple of stories, because I really think these stories from a couple of teachers who have been important to me, that these stories say as much about this practice as anything that I could say. And the first is from Sharon Salzberg. I mentioned her last week, and she's really a meditation teacher out of Barre, Massachusetts, who's been probably the single most important or ever-present presence and teacher of bringing these practices of loving kindness in this way to the West. And in her book, Real Love, she talked about beginning to practice. I'm looking at this now, and I may have shared this story last week. Forgive me, I have seen your moments more times than I want to say in a day. But if I did, it's worth revisiting. And this is just a couple paragraphs from her book. When we opened the Insight Meditation Society in February 1976, we didn't have any programming scheduled for the first month. Those of us who were there decided to do a retreat ourselves, and I decided to do intensive loving kindness practice, which I had long wanted to do. Even though I didn't have a teacher to guide me, I relied on my knowledge of the structure of the practice, beginning with offering loving kindness to myself. I spent the whole first week offering loving kindness to myself, and I just felt nothing. No bolts of lightning, no great breakthrough moment. It felt pretty dreary. Then something happened to a friend of ours in Boston, so several of us suddenly had to leave the retreat. I was upstairs in one of the bathrooms getting ready to go when I dropped a large jar of something on the tile floor and it shattered. To my amazement, I noticed the first thought that came to me was, "You're really a klutz, but I love you." Look at that, I thought. You could have given me anything in the course of that week to persuade me that something was happening and I would have said no. Yet all along, something deep and profound was shifting. And I think this really speaks to what Carol was talking about, that this kindness toward the self starts to have its way with us and make us interact with the world, with frustrations small and large, in a somewhat different way. I want to share another story from Gil Fronsdale, who is Norwegian born, but he's been teaching, is a very beloved meditation teacher in the Bay Area for the past 3 or 4 decades now. And this is from a book of his titled A Monastery Within. An engineer had been a regular and devoted visitor to this particular monastery for many years. The meditation practice taught at the monastery was the only thing that made sense to him. In fact, the pragmatic logic of the meditation teachings gave him hope that he could overcome his chronic unhappiness and deeply felt pain. He tried all the meditation practices that the abbess taught him, and he began each technique with enthusiasm, only to have each end with the same frustration. He would encounter a wall he couldn't pass. The closer he came to the wall, the more he would recoil back into trying to think his way out of the pain. The abbess encouraged him to relax, trust the practice, and simply feel his inner pain without reacting. But after many years, when this didn't make much difference, she decided to try a different approach. She told him that if he wanted to continue being her student, he would have to take on a special practice. Once he had completed the assignment, he could return for deeper teaching. Once more, feeling hope, the engineer agreed. The abbess said, "For 2 years, I want you to volunteer 10 hours a week at the maternity ward at the local hospital. The hospital needs people to hold babies who are born prematurely. If they don't receive enough physical contact, the babies will not grow healthily. When you have finished those 2 years, come back and see me." The man was perplexed by this instruction, but because he trusted the abbess and he had failed to find any relief elsewhere, he plunged into volunteering. He was surprised at how small and fragile the babies were. He would hold them ever so carefully. He would watch their every breath because they all seemed in danger of stopping breathing. He spent a lot of time thinking about how he could more effectively care for them. But there was nothing more effective than simply holding them against his chest. After about 6 months, he started feeling something quite new. He started to feel a little spot of warmth and softness in the very center of his being. Since this was a foreign experience that didn't fit any of the ways he thought about himself, he ignored it. Ignoring it was the best thing he could have done because it prevented him from interfering with the warmth by thinking about it too much. Over the following months, this tender spot grew until it pervaded his body. As it did, the cold, dark wall around his heart slowly relaxed, thawed, and dissolved. When he had completed his 2 years of volunteering in the maternity ward, the engineer returned to the monastery. The abbess saw immediately that he was changed. He was no longer desperate, and he was no longer trying to fit everything he experienced into a conceptual framework. Now he wanted to learn what else the abbess had to teach. Giving him a new instruction, the abbess said to him, "When you meditate, don't think about what is happening. Rather, let your awareness be seated in the tender warmth you feel in your body. If you do this, any meditation practice you do will be fruitful." And the man found this to be true. And I find it so powerful. When you meditate, don't think about what is happening. Let your awareness be seated in the tender warmth you feel in your body. And if you do this, any meditation practice will be fruitful. I think we know that feeling of loving, and we know that feeling of being loved. We know that tender warmth in our body. And Tara Brach says, we all have this longing to love without holding back. And when we contact this loving feeling, it changes immediately on its contact, something about our interface with the world. When I ring the bell and for our moment of silence, I talk about that crossing the threshold, going from one place to another. And loving kindness is a lovely threshold practice to just before we pick up the phone to make that service call, or as we're standing in line at the grocery store, to just evoke that sense of loving kindness. And it changes our experience in that moment to feel that warmth in the heart.